Oscar Podcast.
This magic moment, so different and so new, was like any other until I met you, and then it happened. It took me by surprise. I knew that you felt it too. I could see it by the look in your eyes. Sweeter than wine, softer than a summer's night.
Is totally real.
Okay, so
wait, before you start, are we doing LA Film Critics tonight too?
We have to do everything because I'll tell you exactly why. Okay, so we're taking a look at awardsdaily.com/calendar, and here's how fast the shit's coming down right now, you guys. Okay, so we've got Monday, the Annie nominations and the New York Film Critics, and then the National Board of Review on the 5th, that's Wednesday, yep. Los Angeles Film Critics on Friday the 7th. Then, on Monday the 10th, SAG nomination ballot deadline. That means no more SAG nominations. AFI awards will come out on that Monday, and the Critics' Choice nominations on that Monday. Then, the next Wednesday, SAG nominations. Oh, no. Yeah, Wednesday.
On Wednesday, 2 days later, after the AFI and after the Critics' Choice, 2 days later, yeah, we have the SAG nominations.
And the next day, yeah, the Golden Globe nominations.
Oh, my gosh.
And then,
that's all before the...
That's the biggest week right there.
That mm-hmm. is. And then Oscar voting starts on the 17th. That's how intense our next 2 weeks are going to be. So
and
like,
they did extend the paper ballots.
Yeah.
For old people.
Right, but that's still they still have the same regular ballot deadline, I think.
Yeah.
So then it's just balls to the wall for the next
yep.
months because you've got, you know, WGA coming. And then in between all this, by the way, is going to be top 10 lists and critics mm-hmm. awards and all that stuff that has no, like, date on it. It's just going to come flying at us, National Society of Film Critics, you know, Southeastern yeah. Film Critics. It's just going to be kind of a nightmare. But let's start with what we can deal with right now, which is what we think the New York Film Critics are going to do. I kind of have no idea myself.
Well, what I can tell you, at least from the Awards Daily forums, is because we're at the fifth annual, what is called the Gold Rush, and that is a tournament that begins with the Critics Awards and goes all the way up to the Academy Awards. And it's a contest for anyone on the site, and it's run by a single poster, and God bless him for being able to manage all of this together. So it's all based on, you know, what your correct predictions are. Mm. And it's a fantastic race. It's a lot of fun. Well, I had Dragon Tattoo in for picture and director based on, you know, PGA and DGA. And it totally screwed me. But
Can I just say something about that really fast? Because I feel like I have to defend defend myself, but also David Fincher. Is that when I was looking at the Oscar expanded ballots for 10 nominees, that was different. When they went back to however many that they're doing now, they're using the same process as they used before since the 40s, which is each
yeah.
member puts down 5 nominees. They don't put down 10. And when you put down 10, you have a better, broad selection. When you put down 5, you're only going on your passionate choices. Well, I went back through Oscar history, and I looked at movies that I thought would have gotten nominated based on Guild Awards and Academy history, movies like Adaptation and Almost Famous, and you know, if you follow
Eternal
that
Sunshine.
Pattern, yeah, if you follow mm-hmm. that pattern, Dragon Tattoo couldn't not get nominated. But as it turned out, that was wrong. It doesn't
yeah.
go by guild support and, you know, broad Academy, because Dragon Tattoo did great in all the other categories.
Yeah,
it's
mm-hmm.
just that the 5 nominees thing favors sentimental, emotionally, emotionally driven films.
And it especially favors number one picks, and that's not a movie that many people would say, name as their number one movie of the
right.
year.
Right, and that's the problem with For the Dark Knight and movies like that, is like, who's going to say that's their number one movie? So you're looking at that same paradigm this year with five nominees, sentimental favorites, movies people are passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely the case. For sure.
And there are so many. There are so many. There's such a rich group of movies at the very top that it's not going to leave a lot of room for unusual, unique films to squeeze through. Maybe, possibly. Right. I'm afraid.
But no. Let's talk about the national or the New York Film Critics, which has like a 90% chance of the winner of that going on to be nominated.
Well, I mean, I can tell you what we have in the forums in the Gold Rush tournament. Is there's really only three movies that people are picking, and it's Zero Dark Thirty, Lincoln, and Argo. And right now, it looks like Zero Dark Thirty is a bit of a consensus pick. It was Argo until this week, and a lot of people changed their minds and put Zero Dark Thirty.
That's so funny, because Craig and I last week, when we named our long distance predictions for New York Film Critics, we both said Argo, but in the middle of the week, after the reviews and the first reaction for Zero Dark Thirty came through, we both said that we might have to change that to Zero Dark Thirty.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I agree. I did that today. I thought, you know, it's already got that critic. It feels like it's that critic's darling kind of thing going for it. It also, like I was talking earlier with Jeff Wells actually about this, which is, it doesn't have, you know, the New York Film Critics, other than the artists that they picked last year, which was kind of out of their usual. They're a little bit less than the LA Film Critics this way, but they really do like to pick kind of a sexy pick. They don't just like to pick the best reviewed movie of the year or the Oscar favorite. They like to pick something that feels a little bit new, a little bit sexy, but has that critic's darling thing. And it looks like that's going to be Zero Dark Thirty.
I think it's entirely possible. Yeah. And it's, I mean, I have that as well. So I have to say that I believe that to be the case.
But what could surprise if it's not Zero Dark Thirty? I would say The Master, maybe.
I think possibly, but you have to. I mean, if you're in doing this, and part of the fun about this tournament is looking at, okay, here's New York, here's L.A. You need to go to, find out who the actual members of each of these.
Each individual critic
circle is, go to Metacritic or Rotten Tomatoes, look at their reviews and what they did for you. I mean, it's a lot of fucking work.
Oh, God.
But you have to be able to look at those and go, okay, well, here's where New York is leaning based on these guys. Here's where, you know, Los Angeles is leaning based on these. And NBR, you've got no basis whatsoever to choose from.
They're so surprising every year. Like, I never thought they would pick four awards for The Social Network. That totally came out of the blue to me. Like, that didn't.
No, that was a big shock.
I know it was. It was a huge shock.
Are you talking about NBR?
Yeah.
I don't remember that, but yeah.
Yeah. So you have to be able to look at each of these critics groups within what the actual group is, because, you know, we're only talking 20 to 30 people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
plus,
and you also look at the ones who you know have the who are sort of like the leaders of the groups who maybe can convince or argue or muscle other people to bend to their will,
and see how that's in New York more than any place. You get like a freaking Armand White in there, and he will absolutely. He will fuck everything up.
It's like the chieftains, you know. It's like in a tribe. The chieftains are the most important ones with the headdress. They're the ones whose opinions seem to matter more.
Exactly.
Is New York one of those groups that has to come up with a unanimous pick, and so they argue about it until everybody agrees?
They keep arguing, yes. And one of the best things in the entire season is when all of those little tidbits are leaked out. Oh, my God. It's the best part. I love it.
All those tidbits. So, who are?
So all they need is one John Boehner to totally blow up the whole fucking country. So, who knows?
That's all it takes.
Let's talk really quickly about who is in the New York Film Critics, and then we'll try. Do you want to go through the categories really quickly, or do we want to just stick with Best Picture as we move on, or what?
You know, I think it might be just good to stick with a couple of things. I mean, something I would definitely want to point out. In the New York Film Critics Circle is that they've given Daniel Day-Lewis four wins, three of them in lead actor and one supporting. So virtually every person at in the forums has Daniel Day-Lewis winning.
Well, who else is going to take that prize?
Exactly. There's it. You know, you could have a couple possibilities, but he's a really, really safe bet.
Yeah, I mean, he is a safe bet. I would say that the only, in my opinion, and this could be wrong, and people are going to argue with me, but I really feel that the only other person. Well, okay, so for the Critics Awards, we're talking about a different thing. Critics Awards could go for Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah,
because he hasn't said he didn't think that the New York film critics were bullshit.
Yeah, that's one guy who might benefit from that. But I think in terms of Oscar, the only possible challenger is Hugh Jackman. Shoot me, but that's what I think. I really think.
Yeah, I will shoot you because I can't really see that.
No,
I
mean, that's even not for New York, no.
Yeah. There's no, not for New York, for the Oscars, not New York.
Oh, okay. All right,
I'm saying Oscars. But for New York, I think that the possible best actor upsets for Daniel Day-Lewis. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think they're that stupid, but it would be Joaquin Phoenix, I'd say.
Yeah, the only people that are really in the conversation with New York film critics and the forums is Joaquin Phoenix and Denzel Washington, because they do like Washington as well.
Yeah, that's possible. But Daniel Day-Lewis is like one of the best performances of the decade. I don't think they're going to pass him.
But and you can always say that about him, and that's why he's always such a fucking easy bet.
Right. But this is above and beyond to me. I don't know.
No, it is. And it's like I said on the forums too, and when you're looking at Oscar, Daniel Day-Lewis has the opportunity, or they, Ambus, has the opportunity to give Daniel Day-Lewis an award that will break like 3 records in history. It's huge. Wow. If he wins, it's huge.
Yeah, and he will win. There's nobody else. I mean, the only way he won't win is if we're all misjudging Lincoln's popularity and formidability.
I don't think we are.
Not when you look at the box office.
In all the years I've been doing this, I've never seen anything like it. Usually a movie like Lincoln will struggle at the box office, and it's hard to get people to see it, and you have to really advocate hard for it. But people are showing up. This guy wrote me and said that people were sitting in the hallways to watch that movie. And he said that he and his friends couldn't get into Lincoln, so they bought tickets to Silver Lining Playbook, but they ended up sneaking into Lincoln anyway. And he said the crowd was riveted, and this is like in the middle of nowhere, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not what people are saying. It's not what Jeff Wells is saying, that it's talky-talky and that it's homework. It's not that. It means something different to people out there.
And the word of mouth is really good, or it wouldn't be doing it so well week after week and actually building on its previous weeks.
Yeah, its box office is absurd, and that only is going to do well for it.
And it's true that it won't be huge internationally the way some of these other movies will do.
That's okay, though. That doesn't have to be.
Right.
It's already made back its budget.
So yeah. It won't win the Golden Globes. Who cares?
It doesn't even look like it's trying to do internationally. I don't even think it's opened internationally yet. And so it's not even trying to do that yet. And so it doesn't have anything to prove or anything.
Tweeters keep coming back at me with...
I believe actually it'll do pretty well, because I believe that there's going to be a lot of curiosity. I think there's a lot of people who want to know a little bit about American history that they've always wondered about, and this will be their way into it.
And Daniel Day-Lewis is...
Why is that even a serious question about how it's going to do internationally? Who cares?
No, but they're interested in that global cinema, which is sort of what really drove The Artist and The King's Speech and Slumdog Millionaire. There is a movement toward global cinema right now, and it is being felt at the Oscars. But
it fills a vacuum when there isn't a great American movie to take its place.
But exactly.
This year there is. There's a bunch of them. So.
Well, besides...
And it is good that they're not even opening internationally, and so it's not we're not going to know whether it fails or not. And I think it's going to succeed really, really well overseas, but we don't even have to worry about it because we're not going to know. They're not going to give us an opportunity to find out.
Plus, Daniel Day-Lewis
is might surprise
European.
People. If a movie like The King's Speech can do well here, I don't see why a movie like Lincoln can't do well over there.
And if it was an American star, it would be one thing, but Daniel Day-Lewis is an international star.
I don't think it's going to have any problem overseas.
People are just looking for reasons, not that it's not going to win, but if you look at all of the things that you think about when you think of an Oscar movie, it checks every single box. I can't think of one that it doesn't hit.
No, it's pretty much killing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so actress, big one.
Well, I think this is really something to keep an eye on this week. If Jessica Chastain can win L.A. or New York or NBR, then she's really got a good foothold in that. And it's going to – people are skeptical. Some people are skeptical right now, but this is all she needs this week. This week will be the proving ground for that, don't you think?
Yeah. I'm not sure that New York – my own opinion on this is I feel a gray area in terms of actress. My instinct is to go for Jennifer Lawrence because just when you think they're going to go on the outside, they always go exactly in line with what the general consensus is. But I also have a feeling that they're going to go a little bit different and they're going to pick somebody outside of the general consensus. It might be Emmanuel Riva. It might be, some other totally random choice for actress that's just out of the blue because they don't want to be associated with the Oscar race. But I figure if they're putting out in their press release that they're the first awards, you know, and that they match with the Oscars so many times that in a way they do kind of want to be that group, that major influencer. And I don't know. I kind of feel the heat. I would have to predict Jennifer Lawrence just because of what I know about them over the years, how they usually
go. But what I can tell you, Sasha, is that the forums completely agree with you. And the majority, I would say maybe 90%+ of the people that are participating in the Gold Rush tournament are picking Jennifer Lawrence to win New York. With most people – and one of the cool things we do is also you can add an alternative – and you get, you know, different point breakdowns because of that. And so most people are picking Jessica Chastain as their alternative. I'm the only person, at least so far, unless I change my mind at like midnight on Sunday, that I'm actually picking Kovajane Wallace.
See, I was going to say her, but I thought you guys were going to make fun of me.
No, I'm picking her to win, and Jennifer Lawrence is my alternate, just so that I make sure I don't fuck myself entirely.
I think that's a really good prediction.
I think it's better than people think. When you look at the critics and at Metacritic, there is no film released this year that has more 100s than Beasts of the Southern Wild. Zero have as many as that movie does.
Like 15 or something, right?
21.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's absurd. Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous.
That's half of the scores. It's half of the scores.
Yeah. It's also,
the movie only is, I think it's like 85 or 86 because there are, you know, a loud amount of people that have a lot of issues with it, which is fine. Yeah. But its support is pretty intense. And that girl has been working the circuit. Working.
She is, and she's charming. I feel like that's more a move that the LA film critics would make because they like to pick the weird, obscure, not saying she's weird and obscure, but just they like more the obscure. New York tends to be more general consensus friendly, especially with the acting categories. The other thing is that I think it was some of the New York critics that were doing the whole it's poverty porn, it's, you know, I think they were all New Yorkers.
It's tough because I looked at those two and I'm looking at okay who's giving it the hundreds and who's giving it the fifties, and it's going to be tough. I think the fight for best actress with New York film critics is going to be a fight because I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be really really vocal for her, and a lot of people that are going to be really anti.
I think so too. And look at some of the chieftains. Like, who's a chieftain? Joe Morgenstern is a chieftain, and I think he called Silver Linings his favorite movie of the year.
It's going to be really. However, it's going to be really interesting.
David Denby didn't. I don't know if he's on there. I don't know if Richard Brody is on there. I can't remember who the exact people on their list is, but I know it's like Dana Stevens and Joe Morgenstern and.
Yeah.
I always feel like with them, I expect them to do something much more outside the norm than they do, and they always come in at very – that's why they match so well with Oscar, because they are very general consensus friendly.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, David Denby loved it. Lou Lemonick, Joe Morgenstern all gave it 100s. They
all want to fuck Jennifer Lawrence. I mean,
No. Beast. This is Beast.
No, I know, but I'm saying that aside from that, they all want to fuck Jennifer Lawrence, and they're all going to want her at their ceremony to look at her.
I know, but oh God, Sasha, I totally understand where you're coming from. I agree with you.
I don't think that you do any favors to yourself by predicting Jennifer Lawrence and going with the flow. I think it's much better to make a riskier prediction, because if it pays off, it pays off big. If you're
I think so too.
Who cares? You know, so
I mean,
what?
Come on. New York gives Meryl Streep wins all the time. She won for Julie and Julia. So it's not entirely about who they want to screw at their – no offense to Meryl Streep and her fuckability, just to make sure that that's out there.
And plus, it's not as if this is the last chance they're going to have to fuck Jennifer Lawrence. They can fuck her next year. They can fuck her several different years in the future. They can fuck her any time.
Exactly.
Can I just pause to say that Craig wants to fuck Judi Dench?
Oh,
I'd fuck Jennifer Lawrence too, but I'm not going to vote for her. She was better in the Hunger Games, for crap's sake.
I'd rather fuck Judi Dench than Jennifer Lawrence.
I'm totally going to be having wet dreams tonight about a threesome with Judi Dench and Jennifer Lawrence. It's going to be awesome.
I think that is an awesome idea.
It's like chocolate and peanut butter together.
It's great. No, one can give you a blowjob, the other can give you tea. It's awesome.
But it'll be Judi Dench with the blowjob because she'll take
her obviously.
Better at giving head. Woman's been doing it for how many decades?
Thank you. Thank you.
Exactly.
You don't get worse at it. You only get better.
That's right.
Exactly.
What does a fucking 22-year-old know about that?
Exactly. They don't.
She'll want a glass by the bed so she can spit it out afterwards.
That's right.
Oh, God.
It's totally one of those, put your hand on the back of her head.
You gotta show them what to do. And who has time for that?
That's what I feel like all the hype is trying to make me do with Jennifer Lawrence. They're totally putting their hand on my head, trying to force me down on Jennifer Lawrence, and I'm just not buying it.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Craig.
Come back when she's actually playing a character, for Christ's sake.
And she will next year. We know she's playing Serena next year. That's a terrific role. That's an incredible role. She's gonna kill.
She's a terrific actress. I don't want to underestimate how much I like her as an actor. She was
great
in Winter's Bone.
I like
this
her too.
It's just not that movie. And I'm voting against it on every possible opportunity just because that's what I want to happen. I'll probably come out looking like an ass with egg on my face, but I don't care. I'd rather have egg on my face than
Jennifer.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, it's funny because in terms of Oscar, like, the only way she wins is if it's one of those, it's a win for the movie. Because I think she's too young, and it's not a really good enough part for her to win Best Actress for that. But she would win if it's like, you know, although everybody thought that George Clooney would be the winner for The Descendants, and he didn't turn out to be. So it is possible that Silver...
You know, it's funny that you mention that, because a lot of a conversation on the boards right now is that Silver Linings is feeling like The Descendants.
Mm. Yeah, it peaked at Toronto.
Yeah.
Peaked and then like up in the air and The Descendants, it didn't quite have the...
Yeah, I stood up in the air several weeks, months ago. The first time I heard about Silver Linings, I was comparing it to Up in the Air.
I think you're absolutely right in that. I think it's very much like that, where something that looked like it was a sure bet and going to do really well, and then boom, you know, just gets completely gutted.
And the same type of guys really flipped out about it and really fell in love with it early. And then when we all finally got a chance to look at it and to think about it and see, we saw that there was nothing there except, you know, tits and
but
ass.
See, all that kind of stuff is just like the elections. It does not matter. All the polls do not matter until election day.
Yeah, it's all background noise.
It doesn't matter.
Right. I feel like that Best Actress race is a lot more wide open than people think. I think that both Jennifer Lawrence and Jessica Chastain are tough sells for a win. They don't feel experienced enough for me, and they don't feel Halle Berry enough for me. Like, you know, what she did in Monster's Ball or what Charlize Theron did in Monster, the kind of transformation, or even Natalie Portman in Black Swan. Those kind of performances are what win Oscars, and unless you're talking Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs, that could be Jessica Chastain's model for winning. She's sort of similar to Clarice Starling.
She's already said that herself in interviews.
Oh,
that's exactly what she has modeled herself after, which is good because, you know, all of those other things are de-glamming and plate-throwing and classic Oscar behavior.
Right. I remember that year really well. It's my favorite Oscar year. And Jodie Foster,
I love that year so much.
She was coming up for her second Best Actress win. And I remember thinking, even though Silence of the Lambs was my favorite movie of the year, and I'd seen it 3 times in one day when it opened, I didn't think she would win for Best Actress. I thought Annette Bening, or who was up that year against her?
I was thinking that, you know, it was possibly going to be either Gina Davis or Susan Sarandon, but
right, and they split that didn't happen. But I was thinking Jodie Foster can't win for Silence of the Lambs because it's not that kind of performance. Like, she already won for The Accused, but in this, she just kind of plays it straight. But Silence of the Lambs swept. I mean, it took everything and, you know, all the major awards.
The first since It Happened One Night.
Yeah. So
that was amazing.
That's pretty incredible. And I think that if Jessica Chastain were to win, it might be one of those kind of situations. I don't really see her as the faraway winner right now. And I don't see Jennifer Lawrence either. So I think I feel like it's wide open. I feel like it has a chance for the little kid from, say her name again.
Quabajanae Wallace.
From Beasts of the Southern Wild to maybe win if they really love that movie. I think there's a good chance.
I'm not holding out, you know, any kind of hopes that she's going to win. But it is very interesting that, you know, pretty much Jennifer Lawrence since September was the only person in the conversation. And she was the front runner the entire time until the first little bits of Zero Dark Thirty started coming out. Because it's funny, people do this, and they see something that is a front runner and stays that way for a long time, and they start looking for an alternative. And the alternative came out in Jessica Chastain in the little bits and pieces, and now it's been seen, and little tweets are coming out. So you get this, like, she's going to have momentum at a better time than Lawrence.
One thing, we didn't have any idea how big this role was going to be or how important to the movie it was going to be, but now we know that. And another thing about Jennifer Lawrence, what you're saying about starting to look for an alternative, when you first mention someone like that, it seems like almost like you take it for granted, like, oh, of course, that sounds absolutely right. What else could it be? But then there's the backlash, and the backlash is important. That's why it's important, and people should not be afraid to speak out against and start giving reasons why that's not such a good choice after all. And so it's that's why we kind of encourage that. You know, we kind of encourage people it's not like you're trying to undermine, but you're just trying to point out the flaws in the logic there.
Right. Yes. She's not like Sandra Bullock, who had been in the industry. She was in her 40s. You know, she's not that kind of a workhorse actress yet. She's only 22. But the only way she wins is if it's a win for Silver Linings, which isn't going to win anywhere else. That's my thinking. But if she starts winning everything, like if she wins New York, she wins NBR, and she wins LA, forget it. She's winning the Oscar.
Oh, that would be bananas.
Wouldn't it? Mm. Okay, so
another thing going in Chastain's favor is the fact that she was great in like 12 movies last year and didn't actually win anything and probably should have. So I think people are going to remember that and go, okay, she was great last year. We let it get away. But this year she's great again. We're not going to make the same mistake twice.
She's benefits so much from last year. Not only is she going to get to be the Afterglow nomination, but she gets to be the gal that's, well, I guess she's 35, depending on who you believe what her age is, because she won't talk about her age. But she's in a position of being taken so very seriously as an actress, whereas Jennifer Lawrence at 22 can be taken seriously but has so much more time.
Chastain could be the Meryl Streep of the next generation.
That's what I was just going to say, is that I'm old enough to remember when Meryl Streep burst on the scene in Kramer versus Kramer. I remember that. She won for that,
too.
So supporting actress. And I remember thinking, wow. And the only other actress in all that time that I've seen is Jessica Chastain, where I go, wow. And I'm talking not just about Zero Dark Thirty, but The Help, Take Shelter, all these other things I've seen her do, just the way she transforms herself and how good she is and her instincts and the way the camera loves her face. All of that stuff reminds me of Meryl Streep, and no actress has ever come close to reminding me of Meryl Streep all these years.
Yeah.
It's Zero Dark Thirty was the role that introduced us to her. I don't know that it would be quite enough to put it over the top, but when you combine it with everything that she's already done relatively recently, I think that ups her stock quite a bit.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
She makes really good choices, too. The script that she chooses, she has a really impeccable taste. I mean, I like Lawless. I thought Lawless was a really good movie.
Lawless is a great movie.
She hasn't done what Jennifer Lawrence did, which is sell out to the big mega sequel movies like Jennifer mm-hmm. Lawrence. And I think that when Jennifer Lawrence did that, I thought, oh, God, that's a bad move at 22. You know, it's so young to do that. I know it's good for money and good for power, but it doesn't help you for longevity in Hollywood. They chew you up and they spit you out. And it happened to Scarlett Johansson, and it's going to happen to Jennifer Lawrence, too. So I hope that she's smarter about her.
Yeah, but Jessica Chastain mm-hmm. does have a really stupid, horrible-looking horror movie coming out, like right prime, like Oscar time.
What is
it? No, really? What's
it called? It's called Mama, it's a demonic child horror movie. Oh, my God. It looks like ass.
But is it as bad as that horrible Jennifer Lawrence thing?
Exactly.
It's not that bad.
I see Jessica Chastain in a movie called Ass, now that you mention it.
Yeah.
So anyway, it doesn't feel like there's like a really strong performance that's just going to steal everything in actress. It's definitely going to be open for debate.
It is. And of course, then we you know, not that it was heavily in conversation, but it just got released today that Quartet with Maggie Smith is now not going to be a 2012 release. It's pushed to 2013.
Oh, wow.
That's not happening at all.
I know
that's one less thing we have to worry about.
Yep. We just like sleazed up Judi Dench, but seriously, Judi Dench and what about Judi Dench in Best Exotic?
Marigold, yeah.
What about her? I mean, does she have no chance?
Oh, I am fighting against a lot of people at the realistic chance that she has. Because I think she's got a huge chance. If she can make it in for Mrs. Henderson Presents from the same director, she can make it in.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, you know what it is?
Didn't she make it in for Mrs. Brown, too?
Oh, yeah, but that was deserved, and she should have won over fucking...
But it was another John Madden movie, right? Wasn't it?
Shit, was that John Madden? Oh, my God.
I don't know, but Judi Dench carries that whole movie. And there are no other... It's practically unprecedented to have a movie revolve around an older woman like that who has that kind of thinking and character development. Plus, it made a lot of money, and a lot of seniors saw it.
It did, and this was something that I brought up in the forums because a lot of people are, you know, predicting Emmanuel Riva to get in, and I am not at all. And a lot of people were doing a comparison of, you know, Emmanuel Riva and Marianne Cotillard, and like, okay, so one of these has to get in, and both of them probably won't. And my thought was, you guys are looking at the wrong comparison, and you should be looking at Emmanuel Riva versus Judi Dench. And what you have are both late in life, or as Sally Field would say, of age, women. And you've got one that is a pretty bleak, dark, serious, straightforward representation of growing older, Alzheimer's, and being pretty depressing. And then you have Judi Dench, and you've got a movie that is bigger, brighter, open, more positive. And if you're making, I think a lot of people, if they're making a decision, say between the two, they're going to pick Dench.
And if we're talking, sometimes movies do have a cumulative effect, even if you make a movie that is not going to come anywhere near the awards, but everyone has seen and loved, like Skyfall.
Yeah.
No, that's not going to hurt. That's going to help.
Absolutely. That's going to be huge. What she doesn't have is advocacy, and she doesn't have a good publicity team. Although I did get some crazy Fox Searchlight stuff for Best Exotic. But they're putting all their attention in Beast of the Southern Wild.
They should.
Yeah.
Exotic Marigold's already made its $150 million or whatever it was. There's nothing more they can really milk out of that orange.
Yeah, and Dench does not show up for shit. She does not show up unless she thinks that she's going to win.
Right, she doesn't. And you know who else isn't doing any publicity is the Hitchcock crew.
Yeah, well, you know...
I think the bloom has gone off the rose there, don't you think?
It is. I think they made a grievous error in releasing it. And to me now, this is looking like the J. Edgar of this year.
God, it's a good comparison.
It's a big biopic with
waxworks.
With shitty makeup that's gonna do nothing.
It's such a bad movie, and it's such a good book. The book is so good about Psycho. That guy, he's such a good writer, and it's such an interesting story. And here they felt they needed to piss in it to make it better.
The movie has very little to do with the book. The book is sort of just like the backbone of the movie.
It's such a drag.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's all about Alma and his supposed marriage problems, and it actually ends with the line, "Of all the Hitchcock blondes, you are the most beautiful." And she says, "I've been waiting 30 years to hear that." I mean, what kind of an idiot writes that dialogue?
Well, they do call me the master of suspense.
Come on. That's like depressing.
It was so depressing. It was like that director had no idea who Hitchcock was. He just had no respect for his memory at all. He was just like kind of like, you know, pop culture.
It is his first feature, but still.
Oh,
okay. Isn't the only reason that this movie even got talked about was because it was originally a 2013 release, and then they decided to release it in the middle of Oscar season, so all of a sudden people thought, oh, hey.
That's exactly what it was.
Here's a possible nominee, and it turns out to be a steaming turd, so nobody cares. Let's move on.
They tried to do with that what they did with Crazy Heart.
Right.
And it didn't work.
Yeah. All right,
one of the things we have on the forums, which is really, really fun, after all is said and done, is – but we start before the season is called, you know, predict the season's hottest mess. And it's the movie that people think is going to end up getting nothing, but everyone thinks is going to get everything. And like that's always a lot of fun.
Invictus.
Exactly. Invictus. And it's always something like that. And Jay Edgar. And it's like, yeah, it's something that seems on paper to be an absolutely brilliant no-brainer.
But all the King's Men.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. How many fucking Oscar and Emmy winners are in that movie? And then, I mean, what is it? It's a giant piece of fucking turd.
You know what's funny is this year none of that happened. Like, every movie that everybody expected was going to be good turned out to be good. It was so weird. I've never seen that happen before.
Usually we can usually count on eliminating some things, and it almost makes the job easier because we think we're going to weed some things out. But we haven't been able to weed anything out, have we?
I think one of the closest things to that is probably Anna Karenina,
right?
Which on paper seems like it really should be all over the place. I think it's going to be completely limited to the coffee table awards.
I think too, but the costumes in that are the best. They're so beautiful.
The costumes, the art direction, cinematography, score, I think those are fantastic and they deserve recognition, but that's all it's going to get.
I think I'm going to love it too. I think, and I know Craig did. I mean,
I didn't love it, but I liked it.
You liked it a lot. Well, I think I'm going to really like it a lot, too.
I think it is half a great movie, half a fucking disaster.
Yeah, most of it's a disaster to me, but that guy was freaking hot. Oh, my God.
Who, Aaron Taylor Johnson or whatever his old
Aaron lady Johnson,
name
I think.
Is?
He's definitely...
Yeah, but he's hyphenated now.
Oh, is he? How'd that happen?
Because he married the old woman that had the baby with.
And he took her name?
They took
each other's names.
He's life-ruiningly cute, though, that guy. I could see how you could ruin
him. A fuck bomb. I love Aaron Johnson. I think he's great.
He was just great in that role. I didn't even know it was him. I mean, I'd been following that scandal for a while, but I had no idea that it was the same guy. And he's got something about him. No wonder she totally did that.
Mm-hmm. Are you serious? Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
I know. It's crazy, though, right? I mean, we won't go there. All right, so let's finish up quickly because we've got to go to NBR and we've got to go to Los Angeles Film Critics.
Are we going to list what our predictions are for New York?
Let's list like full predictions because, oh my God, okay, yeah.
But just in the major categories, right? We don't need to go to foreign and all that crap.
Okay.
So like film, director, actors, actor, supporting
actor. Eric, you start since you know what the categories are.
Oh my God. Okay, so here's my predictions, and this is only as of today. I could capitulate and totally change my mind tomorrow night. But right now for Best Picture, I've got Zero Dark Thirty. For director, I've got Catherine Bigelow. For screenplay, which is a single category, I have Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Best actor, Daniel Day-Lewis. Actress, Kovajne Wallace. Supporting actor, Tommy Lee Jones. Supporting actress, Anne Hathaway.
Beautiful.
Mine line up with Eric's except for...
Actress?
No. Shit, what was it? Well, let me list them. You can tell me how they line up because I already forgot. Zero Dark Thirty, best film. Bigelow, Best Director, Lincoln, Screenplay, Jessica Chastain, Actress, Daniel Day-Lewis, Actor, Tommy Lee Jones, Supporting, and Anne Hathaway, Supporting Actress.
You're talking NBR now? This is NBR?
This is New York.
New York.
Okay. Yeah, Actress is the only place where we...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you had Kovajne Wallace, and I've got Jessica Chastain.
Sidebar, I'm so mad that Tom Chirac is not the AMPUS president anymore.
Who
because
is?
I really, really wanted to hear him pronounce Kulvaj Nawalis on Oscar nomination morning. All right, back to everything. Sorry.
Okay, Ryan, you
maybe,
gotta go.
Maybe we can get Pete Hammond. He'll mangle it.
Pass it to Carrie. She'll blow it. Okay.
I didn't know we were going to do this, so I have nothing written down, and I'm at the point right now where I can't hold all this stuff in my head. But what I think some kind of combination of what Eric and Craig said is what I would go with.
Okay, I'm gonna. I actually think it's Zero Dark Thirty because I said that. I tweeted that today. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna say something different just for the fun of it because I can. I'm going to say that Lincoln wins Best Picture and Best Director for Steven Spielberg, and I think Jessica Chastain will win Best Actress in that regard in that situation. Daniel Day-Lewis, of course, wins actor. I think Lincoln wins screenplay for Tony Kushner, and I think that supporting actress is Anne Hathaway, no-brainer. Supporting actor is the only part I'm stuck on. I don't know. I don't think Tommy Lee Jones will win New York, but I don't know who else would. So
you know, my alternate...
Go for McConaughey.
Yeah, my alternate is McConaughey.
Okay, I'm going to pick McConaughey. All right, so let's move on to National Board of Review. They're really tough to predict.
Oh, they're really hard. There's a few things you can count on, but most of the time, I mean, it's like if there's a Clint Eastwood movie that even is a piece of shit, you can probably guarantee it's going to be in, but it's not going to be Trouble with the Curve this year.
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's certainly
And then, of course, you've got to look at the Warner Brothers releases, but since Argo is in there, that's a done deal.
I don't think it would matter if Clint Eastwood had directed another letter from Iwo Jima if he would have gotten a nominee for anything this year because of the spectacle he made of himself at the Republican convention. Really,
spectacle.
I think he ruined himself for everything. If he had directed a $2 million baby.
Dude, if it was a $2 baby, he totally killed Trouble with Curve's chances, that poor guy.
Trouble with the chair.
He finally got his directorial debut, and he got Clint Eastwood to star. Everything seemed like a good go, and then all of a sudden, the Republican convention.
Exactly. That was fucked.
That was fucked. All right, so... you know, let's see. They went for Social Network in 2010. Last year, they bore it. Did they go for The Artist last year? No, they went for Hugo. Actually, despite the fact that people diss the NBR for being whores, they have a way of changing the race if they pick something. Like, I think them picking Hugo, they did pick Hugo last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Them picking Hugo really.
Yeah, they picked Hugo.
It gave it a kind of an awards cred. No matter what people define the NBR as, it can still give a film an awards cred. And it did for Hugo that.
And they often pick good movies. I make fun of them a lot because they're this obscure group of unknown people that could be anybody. But their choices, when you look at them, are not half bad.
Even the really weird ones that they make, the things that you would never expect, are pretty good movies.
Yeah. I mean, do you want me to look back on
them? They're okay. If you can get past the Warner Brothers Eastwood whoring, they can be really good.
Right.
I mean, they picked Drive last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was fucking badass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you
that's why I'm thinking they're going to pick End of Watch. I think they're going to pick End of Watch. I bet they do.
See, I can see that, but I almost want to put something like Looper in instead for them.
I don't think they'll do that either.
But what I can tell you from the forums, almost every person has Argo as their winner.
I don't think
because of the Warner Brothers connection.
You know, that's a big part of it, because it's the only Warner Brothers film that has any kind of anything.
Well, they have
11, because they have a number one film, and then they have 10 others. So they have 11 top films, right?
Yes.
So I'm gonna list 11 films and listen to the ones that are missing. See if you can pick out what's not among these 11.
Cool.
I would like to see the MBR as their 11 picked: Lincoln, Life of Pi, Argo, Zero Dark Thirty, The Master, Beast of the Southern Wild, Cloud Atlas, Moonrise Kingdom, Middle of Nowhere, End of Watch, and let's say Looper.
Oh, I like that.
And I'm not naming Les Mis or Silver Linings Playbook at all.
Silver
I can
Linings
name 11 films. I can name 12 films. I can throw in Dark Knight Rises. I can name a dozen films and not list Les Mis or Silver Linings Playbook.
I will bet you that the Dark Knight Rises gets in. I'll bet you that right now. I think Dark Knight Rises will get in. I think that Lincoln will win. Here's my predictions. I'm sorry I keep going with Lincoln, but I can't think of anybody who would be stupid enough to pick any other movie.
Well, I think they really like historically important films. I think that they like socially and culturally historically important films. They have a sort of a history of that.
Well, they do, because part of the makeup of the MBR is actually historians and teachers.
Mm, they're academics. They're yeah. professors and
they're
stuff.
Not yeah. just, they're not film critics, and that's what people kind of mm-hmm. need to...
They will.
For all we know, Doris Kearns Goodwin is on the NBR.
Holy shitballs.
They will pick Silver Linings Playbook.
She's fuckable.
They will absolutely pick Silver Linings Playbook, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, let me give you what my top
for
10 plus winner is.
Okay. All right, I have to tell you that maybe I'll take this out of the podcast, and maybe you guys will hate me for saying it, and maybe you'll think I'm a big liar. But I can tell you that my site has a poll with them. I know it's true, because they pick movies that I champion every fucking year. That's why I think Dark Knight Rises is getting in.
And the reason, here's the reason. We love you for that.
Why would here's you the reason why I think they do. Cool. Let me give you my explanation for it. It's not because I think I'm so great. It's because I'm the only person in the whole Oscar blogging world that does not diss the NBR. And I think they respect, mm-hmm. they like people who like them. And since mm-hmm. I give them respect and I report on them every year, okay. I think they align themselves more with Awards Daily than they do other sites who say they're just big whores. That's my personal opinion. I could be wrong.
Okay.
But that's
why part of it. I think that's part of it. I think also that you have the same attitude and the same personality as some of their membership do.
Well,
you're smart. You're a smart person.
I don't know about that, but yeah. I do know that they do. I mean, it's not always 100%, but like they had the girl with the dragon tattoo last year, for instance.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Hugo is obviously a Sasha Stone pick.
It was
okay,
number
yes,
one.
But I'm,
social
I'm
network.
Gonna,
okay,
I'm going to counter that right now and say, as soon as they stop putting things like J. Edgar and Hereafter into their top 10. Then I will stop calling them whores.
I know. I understand that, but I
know where you're coming from.
I'm just saying, in terms of my, you know, one lady once told me you attract more flies with honey than vinegar. And I feel like there's no denying that since the 1930s, the National Board of Review has been an influential group, no matter who they are, no matter what they are, just like the Golden Globes have. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's the way the awards are set up. It's fake prestige, perhaps, but it is prestige nonetheless. And there's no denying that both The Social Network and Hugo got big boosts by being named best film by the National Board of Review. It just,
sure.
it just validated them too. Even for people who were almost like not willing to go out on a limb and say how much they loved Hugo, it helps validate a movie like that.
Yeah. So I figure that some of the movies that we've, that's why I think Lincoln has a really good shot at winning that. And I'm not saying, oh yeah, I picked it, but I'm just saying that I feel like if they're aligning themselves with the one site that aligns with them, they have a better chance at pick. I have a better chance that they're going to match something that I like.
Okay. Remember, I named it. Lincoln was at the top of my list when I named my list. Lincoln was number one. So
but
I agree
look,
with you.
They have there. The Descendants. Yeah. They have Up in the Air. They have. Yeah. They have every one of those kind of Silver Linings movies in their picks. So that's why I think it's going to get in.
Well, I think probably. I mean, I'm looking back at all of their lists and they've got, you know, some really great ones. I think 2009 minus one movie is fucking impeccable.
I know which movie that is.
Yeah. You're going to know what that movie is. Everything else. Awesome.
Okay. So they picked The Dark Knight in 2008. What do you want to bet they picked The Dark Knight Rises in 2012? They will pick that for their top 10. Absolutely. 100%.
Well, you know, I would say yes, but they didn't pick Batman Begins.
I know, but that was before.
I know. I know. I'm. You know, it's really funny because I just watched The Dark Knight Rises again today at home, and it played even better.
Doesn't it?
It does play better.
God, it was.
It plays so much better on screen.
It was outstanding.
I know. Mm-hmm. I agree. I watched it three times in one day, and I was like, wow, this movie is a lot better than people remember it.
Warner Brothers connection.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree, and this is the kind of thing where I will probably change my mind, and I know exactly the movie I'm going to swap out from my list.
Okay, let's hear your list.
My list for best film and then the 10 after that, which are alphabetical because they do alphabetical.
Okay. Mm.
Is the winner is Argo, and then Beasts of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Magic Mike, The Master, Les Miserables, Moonrise Kingdom, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty. The movie I would take out of that list to replace with Dark Knight Rises is probably Django Unchained.
Or Magic Mike.
No, Magic Mike is in.
Why do you think that?
I know I'm on the outside of it, but I'm going to leave it in. Because it was a big moneymaker. Because it's Warner Brothers. Because I think it's an easily likable movie.
All right. Here's mine. Ready?
Yes.
Lincoln's going to win. Followed by Beast of the Southern Wild, Argo. These are going to be the other 10. Beast mm-hmm. of the Southern Wild, mm-hmm. Argo, Les Miserables, Silver Linings Playbook, Dark Knight Rises, Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. There's a wild nice. One for you.
That's good. That's a good pick.
What am I missing? I've got six. I'm missing some obvious ones. Which ones am I missing?
Life of Pi, The Master, Zero Dark Thirty.
Middle of Nowhere? No, maybe
yes,
not.
Yes, Life of Pi, Zero Dark Thirty, The Master, and I'm going to go out on another limb and say Cloud Atlas.
I think that's a good pick. Mm-hmm. It's on the Middle of Nowhere thing, though. NBR also picks its top independent films.
Yeah.
And that would... If that was going to get picked, it's going to be in there.
Right. It's not going to be in their majors. But if they're Warner Brothers friendly, Warner Brothers has a lot of movies out this year. And
I forgot about that thing about that they have an independent category, too. Do they nominate? So Amour would not be in their top 10 either. Because they have a foreign category.
No, because they do a foreign film.
Yeah.
They're really specific, which is why something like Beasts would be in their top 10, but it would not be in their independent.
Right. I think mm-hmm. that Cloud Atlas is their kind of movie because it's all, you know.
It's profound if you want it to be, if you're ready for it to be, if you open yourself up to letting it be and you think about it, it's a kind of movie that can really inspire a lot of an interesting thought and conversation.
And if they like Warner Brothers, what they picked that awful movie, The Bucket List.
Exactly. I mean, you, seriously, if you look at their history, they have a history.
Maybe they pick movies like The Bucket List and J. Edgar because they needed a Warner Brothers movie, but they have other better Warner Brothers movie this year. Yeah. They have two other better
ones.
But
they're weird choices in 2009. They're weird choices. They picked Invictus, the Star Trek, and Where the Wild Things Are. Those are three really strange.
Those are fucking great movies. I mean, two of those are great movies.
Mm-hmm. I know, but it's just odd the way they pick. I mean, they really do have...
That's something that needs to be considered when you're doing the NBR2 is that there's going to be one huge, massive blockbuster, which is why The Dark Knight Rises is a great choice, and a lot of people are picking it in the forums.
Yeah, I think it has a really good chance, especially if they rewatch the screener.
It's got a better chance than The Avengers, I think. Some people are picking that, but more people have picked Dark Knight Rises as, you know, kind of essentially the big blockbuster movie. And but there's a lot of people that are picking Cloud Atlas, too.
Good. Well, I think it has a really good chance. I think that it's interesting that the NBR is one of the few groups that did not pick The Artist, and almost everybody else fell in line with that. I think it's very telling and interesting. They like to separate themselves out. So that might be a reason why they don't pick Lincoln. They might pick something that they think is not going to win. I mean, the movies that they've picked seem like the best picture winners. Like they picked Slumdog Millionaire, they picked Up in the Air at the time that they had to vote, which was really early.
Yes.
Up in the Air was still leading.
Yeah.
They picked No Country for Old Men and they picked Letters from Iwo Jima. Good God. But The Departed was on their list. It just wasn't number one.
Well, that's why I honestly think Argo and Lincoln are the only realistic choices.
For them?
Yeah.
What would be another choice? Les Mis or...
Les Mis would be a big win.
Goal.
I don't see anything else other than those two.
I can see
the timing of it is too. You have to look at that too. You have to look at the timing of the voting. Argo has been since its opening a front runner. Lincoln kind of took over that. So those are the only really two things of conversation. They're both historical. You're looking at people that are academics. I just think that it's kind of an easy thing to pick between those two movies.
Right. I agree with that. I mean, I think that that's why it switches to Lincoln. If they're trying to match with Best Picture, it'll have to go to Lincoln. If they want to stand out and change the race, they'll pick Les Mis.
Well, I don't think they try and match the way that, like, you know, BFCA or something else does. But I think it's important to look at the timing of the voting, and you know, even though we don't know the actual voters, but a little bit of the makeup of the constituency. So I think those are the only two realistic choices.
Well, we shall see. We shall see.
I agree. Yes. Can I do mine now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Craig.
I'm not going to do a full top 10 because, honestly, I have no idea. And when I want to qualify, when I said before about the NBR making decent choices, I wasn't considering their top 10 list. I think the top 10 is a cop-out. I'm just going for the one at the top. And the one at the top, they most often tend to make a pretty decent choice.
I totally agree.
Having said that, this year, I think it's going to be Lincoln. I'm leaning towards Argo just because everybody really likes it, but I kind of feel like the bloom is sort of off the Argo rose and that it's all about Lincoln right now, so I'm going to go with Lincoln for the win.
Okay, so the two of us go with Lincoln for the win.
And I think Ryan did too, didn't
he? I did too, yes. Oh, I listed it number one.
That still has Argo, but we'll see.
If it turns out to be Argo, I'm going to go, yeah, well, that was obvious, but I'm going with Lincoln for now.
It's, if it's anything other than those two, I'm going to be happy because it's going to be cool and different. I'll be pissed because, you know, it's going to screw up my scoring on Gold Rush. But I'm cool if it's anything.
If it's something different, I hope that it's something cool like Moonrise Kingdom or Life of Pi, and not something stupid like Silver Linings Playbook.
Well, exactly. I don't think it's going to be something like that. But yeah,
are we going to be happy if it's Best Exotic Marigold Hotel?
Oh, give me a fucking break.
No, but, you know, honestly, I think it could really be Argo just because of the whole Warner Brothers thing, and that would change the race. It would put Argo up a little bit higher than it is right now, which is
It would put it back to where it was, you know, a month ago. But, you know, Argo's a great choice because it's wonderfully reviewed. It's a good movie. It has comedy, suspense, drama. It has every history. It has every possible element of a movie except for, like, sex.
One thing people talked about when it first came out is they thought it was really straightforward. But watching it a second and third time, it is extremely stylish. That movie is packed with style.
Absolutely.
It's flourish. It's flourish and flamboyant almost.
It could totally win.
It's his best movie by far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It could absolutely win. I have a feeling, my own instinct tells me that it's either Zero Dark Thirty or Lincoln, only because they're sexier picks right now. Like the
for NBR?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. I mean, that's just my instinct, is that those two, right, at this moment in time, have, like, the most heat.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
if you look at, you know, they picked, what have we got? Up in the Air, Slumdog, No Country for Old Men.
So we have to talk about L.A. film critics, believe it or not.
Are they intrinsically different somehow from the New York critics, do you think?
Yeah.
What makes them different? The Master seems like is going to be their choice for Best Picture. Just seems like an L.A. type of movie more than it does a New York type of movie.
Well,
Am I wrong about that?
I actually have a handy chart that shows when they match up and when they don't. And the thing I get the feeling that L.A. likes to distinguish itself from New York. That's my feeling. And last year they picked The Descendants instead of The Artist. Which
is a West Coast kind of movie, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a Pacific Ocean kind of movie.
Yeah, it seemed like a weird choice to me that they would do that, though, I thought, you know?
You know where they really like to separate themselves, though, is in the actress category.
Right, that's what I was going to point out.
Oh, my God. And if you look at just, like, the last couple of years, all you got to do is, like, okay, what Korean actress has been this year? Because she's going to win.
Right, right.
Can I find? I mean, I need to find a so I can have a page to look at. LA, their
Alaska.net.
Okay, thanks.
So Duna Bay, maybe they like Korean.
A big enough role, I don't think. Do you?
I don't think so. I don't think that would do it. I think the girl from if it was even like released enough for them, but sometimes it doesn't even matter. But is it a Pietra? Pieta? Oh God, no,
I haven't heard of it. Pieta, yeah, I know what I know. Pieta,
she would be the choice.
You know, it's going to be Emmanuel Riva.
I think she's got an outstanding choice.
Yeah,
that was my first choice, but I'm going away from that now. But that was my original choice, just for the exact reason that Eric said, that it seemed to like to go for the foreign. I wouldn't even narrow it down to Korean, even though it, a couple of years in a row that's what it was. They still seem to go for the big performance in the big foreign film, and that's it.
For being serious, the last time they picked an American-born actress, it was Vera Farmiga in 2005.
Wow. 2005.
That's
it. 2009 was Yolanda Moreau for Seraphine.
Yep. Sally Hawkins, Helen Mirren, and then the fantastic and absolutely, I agree with, Korean actresses, Yoon Jung-hee from Poetry and Kim Hae-ja from Mother. Which I completely support.
God, Poetry was so good.
I love that movie so much.
It got so badly snubbed from every awards body, but I tell you, that was like the best movie that I saw in Cannes that year.
I love that because that was the year that you and I
officially
met at Cannes and had that dinner, and that was like the best.
It was so fun, but you didn't come back.
No, I couldn't.
I wish you would sometime.
I do plan on coming back.
Yeah. That was funny because remember Jeff Wells and everything?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And Cedric. Cedric is so cute.
Oh, my God. That was so hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Midnight Pizza talking with Javier Bardem and Beautiful with you and Jeff Wells was something I'll never forget.
It was so fun. Every experience in Cannes is like a dream. Like it really happened.
Yeah, it was really the greatest thing I could possibly imagine.
Okay, so I'm looking at the years. My chart isn't totally current, the one I'm looking at right now. So it only goes to 2008, weirdly enough. I know I have a more up-to-date one, but the times that they've matched that I can see on here, I think they matched for Social Network.
Was it Hurt Locker, too?
Hurt Locker. But yeah. Brokeback Mountain, Sideways, Saving Private Ryan, L.A. Confidential, Leaving Las Vegas, Schindler's List, Goodfellas, Hannah and Her Sisters, Kramer versus Kramer, Terms of Endearment. Those are all the ones they matched on.
Yeah.
And look at About Schmidt and Sideways and The Descendants. Those movies have that same tone, that same attitude about them, you know, that Tom Perrotta kind of attitude.
Yeah, right.
It seems really West Coast to me. That's why I think that they do have sort of a West Coast vibe about them. I mean, that's distinct, you know, that's definable.
Yeah, it was really glaring last year when they picked The Descendants, people thought. And the other weird one they did was There Will Be Blood over No Country for Old Men. It seemed contrary to me, and it seemed like they really just wanted to distinguish themselves from the critics in New York and be bold in their choice.
I think it only seemed contrary to you because you weren't crazy about that movie, but you forget that critically both of those movies were kind of neck and neck at that point. I think in terms of awards love, it was already in No Country's favor, but really, if you look back critically, those movies were both equally well regarded.
Except for the fact that by that time, There Will Be Blood didn't have reviews out. I remember it hadn't even opened yet.
But they'd screamed the shit out of it for anybody who would watch. I'd already seen it like three times, and I'm nobody.
Yeah, I had too.
Yeah,
see, I'd forgotten that it won, but that just reinforces my belief that The Master may win this year.
Yeah,
I was originally going to go for The Master as the alternative to New York Film Critics' Argo, but once I decided that New York Film Critics were going to go for Zero Dark Thirty, yeah. I'm going for LA Film Critics with Argo.
I'm going to probably go for The Master for LA, and that's only because Alexander Payne doesn't have a movie out this year.
That's what I was trying to say, but I was mumbling about it. But that's what I meant. Yeah, The Descendants and About Schmidt.
Yeah, they really, really like him.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, they do. And they like...
I'm going Paul Thomas Anderson for Best Director, so The Master's still kind of in there in my picks.
Yeah.
They picked Crouching Tiger.
Yeah. They're also an organization like NBR that looks at a cumulative year. Like last year, Fassbender and Chastain both won in their respective categories for multiple roles.
They named different films as yeah. in the citation. I see what
yeah,
you mean.
Yeah, so like Fassbender won for Shame, A Dangerous Method, Jane Eyre, and X-Men. And Chastain won in supporting for Coriolanus, The Debt, The Help, Take Shelter, Texas Killing Fields, and Tree of Life.
God, she's amazing.
Yeah, which says honestly, to me it only helps Matthew McConaughey.
I think Matthew McConaughey, I'm going to pick Zero Dark Thirty for the win there for Best Picture. I think that's a no-brainer.
That's are you picking, Ryan?
I mean, they did pick Hurt Locker. I don't even have my picks for this out
I
yet.
Think I'm going to stick with The Master. I think okay. I'm just – because I'm – I think yeah, – but I may – they may split and maybe Catherine Bigelow will win Best Director.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like mm-hmm. Zero Dark Thirty is the sexy pick, and whoever mm-hmm. picks that – I think if New York doesn't pick it, L.A. will. If mm-hmm. New York picks it, then L.A. will pick Lincoln or The Master.
They split all the time.
Yeah, I see that now that I'm looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they split more than they agree with.
Wow.
Absolutely,
okay, so
most of the time.
There's a way for them to – they even split. They awarded two directors last year.
Yep.
So it's either Bigelow for director or Zero Dark Thirty for picture, and then maybe Affleck will win director. I really think they're going to give an award
I would say either like The Master – for picture and Bigelow for director, or the other way around.
Right, but Lincoln will get something, you guys. Honestly, it'll get Daniel Day-Lewis, and it might get screenplay. I feel like Tony Kushner has this thing sewn up.
I don't know. Let's look at the history of L.A. with Spielberg, because there are certainly going to be groups that do not take Spielberg seriously. And regardless of the film, never will.
That's true. I think Lincoln's different. And I also think that...
Well, Private Ryan won in 98.
Yeah. I was going to say, is LA one of those groups? I think New York is more that group.
Spielberg won for E.T. in 82.
Okay, Steve, then I think he's a reasonable choice.
But different critics then, though.
Must have been very different. Yeah.
I'm thinking like James Rocky, who's an L.A. film critic who's really vocal and really loud. He's a Zero Dark Thirty fanatic. And I just have a feeling it's that kind of movie for them. Like, that's their sexy pick.
Yeah, this is really funny. From 1993 from them, Schindler's List won picture, but Spielberg lost director to James Campion. Mm. But Tommy Lee Jones won supporting actor. And that was not even like part of the conversation at that point.
Hmm.
That's really kind of where it began.
Right. Well, I don't think, oh God, it's so hard to know. Like, we're just at the very beginning. We have no idea what direction this race is going to go in.
Yeah.
Something could win and it totally shifts the race. And then all of a sudden it's okay. Well, it's not that. And it's not that. And it's not that.
It's because we have so many great movies. We have to keep saying, we should reiterate that. The reason that it's up in the air is because there are so many great choices they could make and still be really honorable and admirable.
It is. I totally agree with that. There's going to be more great choices than how the shit did that get in there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think we can all agree that it's probably down to three movies. It's Argo, Zero Dark Thirty, or Lincoln. What else could – oh, The Master, four movies.
Yeah.
What else could burst through of the?
You mean for these critics groups or do you mean overall?
For L.A.?
No, for L.A. Mm-hmm. Do you think Silver Linings has a chance or Les Mis has a chance or –
I really don't, and that's only because I don't see David O. Russell having any kind of impact with these guys at all.
I don't either. That is not a sexy because it's not a risky film. It's a safe play. It safe movie.
Yeah,
but it's a little Toronto audience award. It doesn't need anything else.
Yeah, who gives a fuck about that?
But The Descendants was so safe.
Yeah, but look at 2010 had. I mean, Carlos was a runner-up for picture, a runner-up for actor, and a tie for director.
Yeah, and that's The Master this year.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
And for one thing, we also know historically that the filmmakers who take the biggest risk, those films sometimes surprise us 10 or 15 years from now. Looking back on them, yeah. they may be groundbreaking in ways we don't understand right now.
You've been listening to episode 10 of Oscar Poker with Craig Kennedy from livinginCinema.com, Ryan Adams, and me, Sasha Stone, from awardsdaily.com, with our special guest, Eric Anderson, he's the admin on the Awards Daily forums, and he also is one of the creators of ICS, International Cinephile Society, icsfilm.org. You can follow us on Twitter at Oscar Podcast. And we will be back next week. The bumper music is two from Lost Highway. This Magic Moment by Lou Reed and Song to the Siren by This Mortal Coil. Thanks for listening.
On the floating ship's oceans, I did all my best to smile to your singing eyes and fingers drew me laughing to your eyes, and you sang, said to me. Did I dream you dreamed about me? Were you here when I was born? Now my foolish boat is leaning, broken up long. Touch me not, come back tomorrow. Oh my heart shines from the sorrow. Well, I'm as puzzled as a newborn child. I'm as riddled as the tide. Should I stand with the breakers, or should I lie?